Matthew chapter number 14 tonight. How many of y'all's glad to be in church? There's a whole lot of places we could be and should be besides here, but I'm glad to be here, ain't you? I bless his name. And praise the Lord. Matthew chapter number 14 tonight. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, 'It is not lawful for thee to have her.' When he would have put him to death, they feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, 'Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger.' And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. He sent beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." Of course, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And as the Lord began to work in our hearts this week and all the way through up to the service this morning, I want to continue to preach from this passage, and I want to continue to talk to you on the subject of wicked women, whipped men, and wounded preachers. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand one more time. I pray now, God, that you would have your perfect will and way. Lord, I pray that you'd help me for a little while. God, that you'd touch me physically. Lord, touch my voice. God, most of all, spiritually. Lord, I need your touch. God, I'll be honest, over the last few times that I've stood, it's been laborious. It's been hard. And I pray tonight that you would, God, make preaching easy, Lord. Make it, God, effective. Make it last in the hearts of your people. God, I can't do none of that. But Lord, if you'd come by tonight, Lord, that if you'd have your way and you'd preach to me and through me tonight, God, that you'd make this hour, Lord, an hour where there's no hindrances and there's no, God, anything to come between us and you. Lord, please help us now for a little while. Lord, I'll thank you and praise you. God, I need your help. God, we need your help. So please, Lord, one more time, come by and help us. We'll thank you for all that you do, for it's in Jesus' name that we do ask and pray. All the Lord's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. I understand, with it being Mother's Day, this seems to be an awful different subject, a different thought, a different direction. But I'm here to tell you something this evening. If we've ever lived in a day and hour that we are our churches, I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about the church. If we've ever seen an hour where the church has been filled with wicked women, it's right now. If we've ever seen an hour where the church has been filled with whipped men, it's right now. I can assure you, in these final few minutes of the race, if we've ever lived in a day and hour that there are some wounded preachers, it's right now. My friend, I again want to remind you, this whole entire text has been, it's completely twisted. It's backwards. It's messed up. It's not the way that life wife should go. Herod should not be sleeping with his brother's wife. Can I get a witness? And Herodias should not be sleeping with her husband's brother. And the daughter of Herodias should not be dancing. And my friend should not be putting the head of the Baptist preacher on a charger, my friend, and carrying it around like it's a trophy animal. This story is completely absurd when you really get to looking at it. I'm amazed at the times and the people that, my friend, we read through these things, and it goes right in one eye, if you will, and out the other. It goes in one ear and out the other. We'll read it but not digest what has really taken place. Here is John the Baptist, the greatest born among all women, my friend, and God has sent him to deal with Herod and Herodias concerning their sin. God sent the preacher. By the way, I need a little help right here. That's what God does with preaching. My friend, he confronts you with whatever it is that you need confronted with, whether that be salvation or whether it be sin or service or selling out. Thank God for preaching through the man of God. But may I say this afternoon, just as John was faithful to do what God had called him to do, my friend, God will not force himself upon you. God sent them the word. John's told Herod, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife and to take her to be your own. That's not lawful, Herod. That's not right, Herod. God's not well pleased, Herod. But at the end of the day, guess who had to receive the word from God? It was Herod. My friend, how about a God that would take time and love you enough to come by and not warn you out of anger or malice or bitterness or any of those things, but because he loves us, would come by our way through the preaching of the word of God so that we would deal with our sins. That's what we're dealing with in this passage tonight. As a matter of fact, this is the one instance in which John, he literally puts his life on the line. He knew going into this thing, if Herod don't like this, this should go south. Are you with me? Think about that, fellas. We have a hard time preaching on a subject because we know it's gonna hit one or two that we know is going to be in the crowd. But think about preaching on a subject that you don't wonder if it's going to hit or hope it hit, but you know the word is Herod, repent. That's the word. That's the message that God gave John the Baptist. And John knew this man can do with me whatever he pleases to do. But John was faithful. How about that? Praise the Lord that there's still some faithful preachers in these. They're not all faithful to the Lord. There's even a bunch of them got the right things on the sign and even the right Bibles in the pulpit. But it does not mean that they're being faithful to the calling in which God has called them. They're still old time, Holy Ghost, independent, King James only churches. But their pastors are avoiding some of the controversies. And there's pastors that are avoiding preaching on certain topics. And pastors are avoiding dealing with sin. And pastors are avoiding, because listen, we're living in a day an hour, everybody wants a pat on the back. Everybody wants to go away with a smile. Amen. Everybody wants to go away with a high five and a hug just to say, I've been to church and I've done my job and I've fulfilled my moral obligation and here I am. I've done all that I'm supposed to do. But in reality, God expects more out of me than you and you than just show up to church. God wants us to live a life that pleases him, that represents him, my friend, that brings honor and glory to his holy name. Boy, there's a whole lot of church goers, and that's all they got going for them, is they go to church. John is dealing with the sin of Herod and Herodias. But among this crowd that day, we find there's three different avenues. Upon this occasion and this portion of Scripture, we find three main characters, if you will. There's a wicked woman here. Can I get a witness? There's a wicked woman here by the name of Herodias. There's a whipped man here by the name of Herod. I mean, when she snaps her fingers and says jump, he don't ask how high, he just starts jumping. You with me? When she says go, he goes. When she says run, he runs. When she says this, he does this. And when she says that, he does that. I mean, this man's whipped by a wicked woman. Let me just take a quick time out and say that is a horrible combination. A whipped man and a wicked woman. Boy, that ain't going to turn out right. That ain't going to turn out good. Now, I'm not going to try to re-preach it and preach it all the same way I did. I'm just going to tell you that it ain't the order of God for the woman to be the leader, and it ain't the order of God for the man to be the follower. Amen. And if your husband ain't leading us between him and the Lord, it still don't mean you're the head. Come on, somebody. I mean, we are living in days just like this portion of Scripture where everything's twisted around and inside out and backwards. And what you'll end up finding is an outcome that you cannot ever find peace in if you're not careful. This is an unpeaceful, no joy, no peace. I mean, this is a miserable situation. Herod shouldn't even have this woman. But he does. Right. His brother's heart's broke. He's pleased his sinful, rotten flesh and his self. Yeah. She's running the show, and her daughter's rebellious as the devil. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. And by the time this whole thing wraps up, a preacher dies. Yeah. Right. Does everybody see? I'm trying to really put the emphasis. This is a bad ordeal here. And there's three characters that I want to bring out tonight. We started it this morning. We won't take a whole lot of time here, but I do want to relook and revisit this wicked woman. Notice, first of all, about this wicked woman. This wicked woman possessed a soul that was unregenerate. In verse number 3, the Bible says this, "For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake." I mean, everything that Herod done was for her sake. In other words, it was her will. It was her way. She was the culprit behind the imprisonment of the preacher and the beheading of the preacher. This woman's not saved. She's unregenerate. She's unrighteous. She's wicked. She's not holy. She's a wicked woman. Her soul had never been born again by the grace of God. And I say, John, give them opportunity to get things made right. But do you know what happens with the people that are refusing? You know, those who are unrepentant or unregenerate or unregenerated. Is everybody following me tonight? Y'all still believe in saying amen at church? All right, then help me for a moment. Right. She wouldn't repent. Right. You don't know why people go to hell? They choose to. Right. Amen. I don't know how to tell you. God ain't never sent nobody to hell. There's nobody ever woke up in hell and thought, "Oh my goodness, how'd I get here?" You know, if you die and go to hell, you'll know as soon as you open your eyes in hell why you're there, and you won't blame God. You'll be begging God in hell. There ain't nobody blaming God in hell. You know what every one of them know in hell? He is my Savior, and I need him to save me, but it's too late. She wouldn't deal with her sin, and that's why her soul is in the condition that it's in. This wicked woman, she possessed a soul that was unregenerate. Number two, this wicked woman pleased self and was unfaithful. In verse number 3 and 4, this is the wife of Philip, which is the brother, my friend, of Herod. She is a woman of self-pleasure. She was all about her. She wanted to please her. She wanted to live for her. She wanted to make herself happy. She wanted to exalt herself. She wanted to please her own ways. And because this wicked woman lived a life that pleased self, she ends up being unfaithful to her husband. You don't know why we're not preaching on the physical sin tonight? of adultery, but you want to know why people commit it? Now, let's give me some volume, Dick. These people are not going to want to listen to me tonight, so I'm going to make sure they hear. Don't know why people commit adultery. What's a touchy subject thing?
Come on, please.
Some of y'all have to deal with it. One reason. It's not, first of all, let me say this. It's not your fault if your spouse has done that.
Right.
I need a little cooperation, a little help tonight.
Yes, sir.
It's not your fault.
No,
I've dealt with people and the first thing comes out of their mouth was, well, if I would have done this, nope. Well, if I was just, nope. Has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. You listening? Nothing. I'm just not as pretty as that. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Just not as handsome. Has nothing to do with it. You don't know why people commit adultery and they become unfaithful? One reason. To please the desires of their sinful flesh. That's it. I hate to be so plain, but that's all it was. Are you listening? It don't mean, and I know they didn't love you the right way according to the Bible, but it don't even mean they don't love you.
Right.
What's
that's true. Right.
It don't mean they don't love you.
Right.
I don't know if they really love me, how they could do that to me. I don't know how they could.
Yeah.
They fulfilled the lustful desires of their flesh.
Amen. Right.
Their flesh ain't faithful and loyal to nothing or nobody but self.
Amen.
And your flesh ain't faithful and loyal and loving to nobody but self.
Amen.
Do you understand? That's why marriage is a holy thing. That's why God's the institutor of it. That's why God is the one that put man and female together. That's why God gives us the pattern and the order of how the home should be operated.
Amen.
And how holy marriage should be conducted. Because it is holy. And my friend, and if it's a holy thing and the institution of marriage is holy, then the only thing that will keep it holy are the things of God and righteousness. Ain't no way to have a successful marriage outside of the Lord.
Amen.
Because
yes,
He's the creator of man.
Right.
Why does the world, listen, friend, we're in a day and hour where it's okay to do those things.
Right.
And I'm just talking about in the world's perspective. I'm talking about within the marriage.
Yes, right.
That they're okay with him going out and having this one or that one. And they're okay with her going out and having this. Are y'all with me? I'm not trying to be that. This is where we are. We are in those spiritually depraved and, my God, delirious days of sinful self-pleasure and pride.
Amen.
These days that we're living, folks.
Right. Yes, sir.
Well, there's no desire between men and women to be faithful.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, they don't care.
You're right.
They bite and they embrace these sexual perverted things.
Yes.
This is the day we're living in, brother.
You're right. Amen.
Isn't that awful?
Yes.
Why are you not to that point?
Grace of God. That's it.
Teaches
us
the only thing.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Amen. This ain't going like it went this morning, but it's bad.
It's okay.
It is bad. Listen to me. I'm trying to tell you something tonight that we can go that far and further and further. Where there is no fear of God, there's no limit of sin.
Amen.
Amen.
And this wicked woman had no regard
right
for God.
Right.
That's why she did not care to give herself to the brother of her husband.
Right.
And Herod had no fear of God, therefore he had no limit of sin. And he had no remorse and took no regard in taking the wife of his flesh and blood, brother.
Yeah.
Perversion.
Amen.
Wickedness. Are you following me this evening? I'm talking about this is a wicked woman right here. And she's wicked because she lived her life to please self. And because of that, she's unfaithful. So what is the application to us? First of all, we'd all be in the same shape physically, sexually, sensually, if it was not for the grace of God.
Amen.
So let's just establish that.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I was reading through the book of Hosea. Can you imagine?
Right.
Y'all ever read that?
Yes, sir.
God on purpose makes him fall in love and marry a prostitute.
Yeah.
And on purpose, God allows for her to go out and go back to her whores.
Yeah.
Like the Bible said.
Yeah.
And then Hosea had to take her back in and love her again.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, can you imagine what it must be like? Look up here and listen to me. You've got a God that does the same thing.
Yeah, man.
All the time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You're His bride. If you've ever been born again, you're His bride. And every time that you choose your sinful and selfish pleasures over Him, you're unfaithful to Him. My friend, you've committed spiritual adultery on Him. He don't kick you out. He don't let you die up a wilderness, but He pays that price over and over and over and over again. And He loves you like He always did. And He's loyal like He always would. I'm trying to tell you something like that. But my friend, we ought to thank God that He loves us in spite of that. This wicked woman, man.
Come on, man.
She pleads self. She's unfaithful.
So are you and me. If we walk in the flesh. This wicked woman, my friend, I'm hurrying along. This wicked woman produced seed that was unruly. In verse number 6, the Bible said, but when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them. Please, Herod, in verse number 10 and 11, verse number 11 said, and his head was brought in the charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. Listen, this wicked woman produced seed that was unruly. In other words, her fruit, her offspring was unruly and out of line and wicked and perverted. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to give way and heed to your sinful pleasures and desires at the expense of your children?
That's good, preacher. Come on now.
I mean, who in the world promotes this stuff?
But you know what? I personally never knew somebody who pushed and promoted and advocated sexual sin among their teenagers until recently. You know people's okay with this?
Yep.
I'm talking about New York. I'm talking about Florida.
Yes.
Where 14 and 15 year old daughters are sleeping with all the boys on the football team that mama's proud about.
Yeah.
Mm. Hello, is everybody talking? Are you, this is a real thing. It's a real person that I really know. It's crazy. But it's being bragged about.
Yeah.
And here's why. Because in the heart of mama, that's what she wanted.
You're right.
Well,
come on now.
She's living out her fulfillment, her sinful, sexual, selfish pleasures and desires through the innocence of her own daughter.
Yep. That's it.
That's out of hell.
Yes, right. Yeah, yes, sir.
Right.
If you're okay with opening up the pedophiles, and if you're okay with opening up the perverts into the heart of your daughters and your sons, my God, I don't know if you've ever been saved for you. That's out of hell this evening. And here this woman is, and she's pushing and promoting and training her daughter up to dance sexually and seductively in front of the king to please him, that he would give her whatever she wants. That's out of this world with
you.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, sir. I would never do such a thing. You sure about that? Hello? My daughter, she's 11. She looks like she's 15. Not because she's painted with makeup. She's just a big kid.
Right.
Tall. Mature. You think she's a lot older than she is. This has not really been made an issue, but she's mentioned things. She's mentioned possibly the potential of maybe wanting to do volleyball. Of course, my kids know. Ain't nothing comes before church.
Right.
Well, I have no issue. She wants to do volleyball, but I told her, I said, "No, Madison, I have one concern. The practices and games on church are not my concern because you shouldn't be there." I said, "But the shorts."
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Right.
That they wear.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what she said, Brother Max? She said, "Oh, I've already got it covered, Dad."
Yeah.
I said, "Let's hear it, baby." She said, "You remember when we went and watched Miss Leah play soccer?"
Amen.
I said, "Yes, sir, I do." Yes, she said, "Those soccer shorts were black right here, but she had them spandex ones."
Right.
Went down to her knees. She said, "Dad, I'll just get some of them like Miss Leah."
Yeah.
Right. Glory to God.
Yeah. Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
She had already considered.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
You say, "Well, she's just a kid. She's never been that much." She may be innocent and may not ever mean nothing by those shorts of volleyball, but them stains are full of pervert.
Yes, right. Yes, sir.
You better know that if you trust people, your head's in the sand.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hello.
Yes.
And if I let her start when she didn't have no ulterior motive, it was just the uniform, but I let her and I put up with it now, when she's 18, there wouldn't be an ulterior motive.
Right.
Yes. Right.
You don't know why girls dress half naked? They want to be seen half naked.
Right.
That's right.
Yes, yeah, mate.
I don't have to tell you. You know why boys dress half naked? They want to be seen half naked.
Amen.
Right. Hello?
Right.
That woman feels the breeze blowing across the front of her shirt.
Yeah.
Right. Y'all don't die on me. That woman knows.
Yes, sir.
That man knows.
Right. Yeah.
Hello?
She's on the hunt.
That's exactly right.
She's on the hunt, friend.
Yep.
Herodias is such a wicked woman. She has produced seed that is unruly. Her daughter danced. Let me tell you what this way. This wasn't the three-step Cotton Eye Joe Jr.
That's right.
This is a seductive, sexually oriented dance.
Yes, right.
To get Herod to the place of vulnerability where he would give all that he had.
Yes.
How did Mama know that he would give his heart to her if she could sexually and seductively seduce him? Because she had already done it to him.
Right.
Y'all with me, ain't you? She knew how the operation worked. And she said, "I'm telling you, I want that preacher dead. And I know the way we can do it. If you do this and that, hello," training her to be that way.
That's right.
Mamas, I'm taking you to show you what God expects out of the older women.
Yeah.
To teach the younger women.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
To be me.
Yeah.
To be. Malice.
Yeah.
Are you listening? To have a meek and a quiet spirit, to live holy and humble. Oh boy. I'm trying to help. Do y'all want help?
Yes,
ma'am.
We're living in an hour where wicked women are training little girls to turn in to be wicked women.
Right.
Did you know, and you can study me on this. Did you know years ago that prostitutes were more modest than most women are today when they go to church?
Yep.
It's
true.
That's the truth.
That is right.
Study.
True.
They were more modest prostitutes selling themselves than most women are in today's hour that go to church.
Right.
I just think in these last days we need to just let go of some of that. I mean, it is what it is. Times have changed. They sure have, but the Word of God's not.
Amen.
And there needs to be at least one, and I know we're not the only one, but there needs to be at least one on the Barriston Road that says we're not just dropping all the Bible.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm no legalist by any stretch of mind, but I am a Bibleist.
Right.
Can I get a witness? Right. I want to protect my daughters.
Amen.
Well, I've heard this. Well, you can wear sweatpants and a hoodie and perverts still come out. That's exactly right. You're right.
Yes.
They will. They will. But don't advertise.
Right.
Amen. That's it.
They will, I know. But they won't be nearly as great when you're not out there with a flashing sign that says,
to deal with modesty tonight, but I will if I got to. You ought not say, pick me, I'm vulnerable, I'm available. Here's one to upset you. I'm easy. Children, and tell them all the do's and the do nots, and then expose them to everything we try to train them against.
Right. Tell you.
We're approaching summer.
Yes, sir.
It's already hot. And what happens everywhere in warm weather is everybody starts getting naked.
Right. Yep. Right.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Amen.
My name's Sue. Everywhere you go, everybody's naked. Hey, redneck's got their shirts off. Because it's hot. Hello?
Man.
And the women ain't hardly wearing nothing, just enough to keep them from going to jail.
Right.
Amen. Right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen.
So I know it's everywhere. I know it's everywhere. But why do we take the chance expose our children and ourselves?
Right, preacher.
The people and places that we know good and well. Let me ask y'all something. Would it be acceptable to get all the young men and all the men of the church up here and all the ladies come in your undergarments? Would that be okay?
No, sir.
I can't believe you would say something like that. But stay with me. What's the difference in that and going down to the local pool where everybody's in bikinis?
Yep.
Right.
Fact is, listen to me, most undergarments are more modest than the bikinis are.
You're right.
I'm telling the truth.
He's telling the truth.
Yeah. Right. I'm not trying to be ugly or perverted. No. I'm just dealing with where we live. Yep.
Amen. With you, preacher.
Listen to me. Y'all do what you want. But that 13-year-old, going to be 14-year-old boy, don't need to see all them women in their underwear.
Right. Amen.
It's not underwear, it's a bathing suit. What's the difference?
Right.
I mean, honestly, give me an argument. What's so different about that? Nothing. And nowadays, under God, there ain't no difference in a man wearing swimming trunks and no shirt as there are boxers. What's the deal with me wearing short shorts? I don't know. Have y'all been seeing that?
Nope.
That's 2-3 years that men, they don't wear shorts down their knees no more. I mean that. I ain't just talking about the ones that you look at and say, he's a sodomite, man. I'm talking about just average looking old men. And I said, what? I don't wear a doctor when I you got to watch. They made them now. Might as well wear your underwear.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point in buying something that looks like boxes when you got a whole drawer full of them?
Amen.
Hello? Stay with me. I'm not trying to be poor, but I'm getting to swear we are. I'm telling you, this woman produced seed that was unruly and was rebellious and was unrighteous, that was immodest and defiled, and it was the wicked woman's fault.
Right.
She turned out that way.
Yeah.
Don't be upset when your children turn out to do things that you've trained them to do.
Amen.
Don't fall out with them when they commit that sin that you've allowed them to prepare for all these years. When they come home and say, I hate to tell y'all, but I'm going to be a mama. Don't go off on them when you've done absolutely nothing to prevent it. Can I get a witness? Herodias trained this girl to be unruly. Boy, I didn't plan on doing all that tonight. Let's move on. This wicked woman persecuted God's servant unrelentingly. She had no remorse, no regret. She killed the preacher. That's a wicked woman.
Amen.
I mean, she had no pity. She had no concern. This wicked woman has just claimed the life of the great preacher John the Baptist. Without remorse. That's a wicked woman. Can I remind you, just because you don't carry out everything you say in private, there's little ears that are listening. Herodias has trained this girl of hers to be a preacher killer.
Yes,
I can look at this a few different ways. One way, let's look at the actual situation. She seduced him.
Yeah.
Preachers, listen to me right here. Listen to me. There are women out there who are preacher killers in the area of seduction.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Amen.
You're right.
Yeah. Brother John Dorsey told me years ago, he said, Josh Griffith, he said, man, you're so ugly, son. And I said, I agree, you are ugly. He said, you'd be 5 foot tall and 5 foot wide. Smell like a monkey and a donkey. He said, you don't have to have the looks, the personality. He said, none of that matters. He said, I'm going to tell you what these hellacious women are craving while they come after preachers. It's the power and the authority.
Yes, sir. Those are preachers. Those are preachers. Yes, right.
And
that's exactly right. Right.
You know what
they are? That is right. That's right.
The
preacher
killers.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. And there's been a bunch of preachers hooked down in the ministry.
Yes, right. Amen.
By seductive women.
Amen. That's right.
You better listen to me.
Right.
If you ain't where you ought to be with the Lord, if you give one little moment, one little space,
yes, sir,
for the devil to creep in, you're a head lad.
Right.
And I don't care who you are.
Amen.
Right.
The psalmist David, a man after God's own heart, can get real in, man, you can. We're not above it. That's why I'm dealing with it. We're not above it tonight. We are not more spiritual than those. Listen to me. There's nothing new under the sun if you're not careful. These seductive women, they're training their seed to be unruly and unrighteous and immodest, and they'll trap you and snare you if you're not careful.
Amen.
Wicked woman. But what about this whipped man? I'm hurrying along. Number one, this whipped man had a guilty conscience. In verses number 1 and 2, he knows. In verse 3, he knows there's something to this Jesus. There's something to this John. He knows he can't deny the works that he's seen and heard. He knows better, but irregardless of how he knows and what he knows that's not right, he goes through with this to please one person. Who is it? It's Herodias. You know what he is? He's a whipped man.
Amen.
He's led by the nose. The woman walks him around like a little chihuahua, and he does everything she says because he's in love not with her but what she's got.
Yep. Right. Amen.
You might as well get with me. I'll preach to midnight. I'm telling you, the God's honest truth, there's something to this. When the thing's out of order, and I know it's not his wife, but when things are out of order, there's nothing but trouble that comes from it.
Amen.
This wicked woman, now we find a whipped man. This whipped man had a guilty conscience. He lived his whole life in regret.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Right.
How many of you men, don't answer it out loud, because God help, we don't need a marital feud here tonight. How many of you men has ever thought, boy, I messed up with this one?
Come on.
If you ain't, shout victory.
Right.
Praise
the
Lord.
Glad for you. You ever thought, this ain't who I say I do to? Who is this back there? Hello? You ever been there? This man is whipped.
Right, right.
And he's living his entire life in regret.
The blood of John the Baptist drips from his fingers, and he didn't even want to kill him. But because he was whipped,
right.
I need to stretch this through your mind. You ain't listening. Because he was whipped. Men, if you are led around by a woman, you're going to live your whole life full of regrets. God made you the head for a reason. She's the weaker vessel. She's not to lead you. And when the woman leads you, you'll end up making decisions and doing things you would have said no to. But because you're willing to live and love and please her more than lead and love and please God, you'll live your whole life regretting the way you've lived your life. He had a guilty conscience. He knew better, but he'd done it anyways. Secondly, this whipped man had a gutless countenance. Not only did he have a guilty conscience, he had a gutless countenance. Look at verse number 3. You better pay attention to this. Herod had laid hold on John, bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, talking about Herod, because they counted him as a prophet. This whipped man had a gutless countenance. Can I say Herod was a fearful coward all the way around? I'm going to give you 3 areas that we find that Herod has a gutless countenance. Number 1, Herod had a gutless countenance concerning the mistress in verse number 4. Read it with me again in verse number 3, I'm sorry. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake. He had a gutless countenance concerning the mistress. He followed the mistress. He obeyed the mistress. He murdered a preacher because of this mistress. He had no spine. He had no backbone. He had no grit and he had no guts. He was a man of a gutless countenance. Listen to me, men. I do not promote anybody being arrogant and rude and prideful. Swelled up and ready to fight at the drop of a pen. But you ought to have some backbone. God forbid it. But man, if you've got to stand toe to toe with somebody, you ought to be able to.
Yes, sir.
Somebody say amen.
Yes, sir.
I ain't promoting violence, and I'm not. But I'm just, if the situation arises, I mean, bless God, I don't want to cower down. I've got to stand for something. It's up to me to fight and defend my family.
Amen.
Some of y'all, the way you act, being led around by the nose. If somebody kicks your door down, I don't know what you do. I really don't. I mean, would you grab them up, take care of it, or would you holler at mama? Honey, we got an intruder. What should I do? I know it's funny, I ain't trying to be funny. Herod had a gutless countenance concerning the mistress, and notice how that plays out. Not only did he have a gutless countenance concerning the mistress, but he had a gutless countenance concerning the minister, the preacher. Look at verse 5. And when he would have put him to death, he feared. Or excuse me, verse 4. I had it backwards. Verse 4. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. In other words, he couldn't take the word from the preacher. He had a gutless countenance concerning the mistress. He followed her, but he had a gutless countenance concerning the minister. He forbid him. In other words, look here, friend. He couldn't take rebuke.
Right, right, right.
Christian version of Chuck Norris. It's actually quite the opposite. It's because he was a coward.
Yeah, right.
He could not. He had a gutless countenance with the mistress. He followed her, and he had a gutless countenance with the minister. He forbid him.
Yeah, right.
Then he had a gutless countenance with the multitude.
That's right.
Look in verse 5.
Right.
Verse number 5 says, when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. Herod followed the mistress. He forbid the minister. He feared the multitude. May I say, instead of having a gutless conscience concerning the mistress and the minister and the multitude, here's what Herod should have done. He should have resisted the perversion and the persuasion of the mistress. He should have repented because of the preaching of the minister. And he should have respected the preacher along with the multitude. But he was gutless. He was a coward. You better hear me and hear me well. I need you to hear me, men. You cannot be gutless and godly at the same time. If you ain't got guts, you won't have God. Because you're going to have to stand. Are you listening? If you ain't got guts, friend, you might as well just go ahead and realize you ain't going to do much for God. Because it takes guts. It takes being able to be in the minority. It takes guts concerning the mistress. You've got to forsake her and forbid her. And it takes guts concerning the minister. You've got to follow and listen and obey what he says. And it takes guts concerning the multitude. Listen, he wanted to hurt to kill the preacher, but he couldn't. He was too afraid. But he should have been agreeing with them instead of opposing them. But he feared them because he was on the wrong side. You don't know why people are so defensive about the church all the time? You don't know why? It's not because they're fearless. It's because they're full of fear and they're out of fellowship.
Yeah.
That's why he feared the multitude. They were proclaiming something he knew was right in his own heart. Hello? That's why people turn on the church. It's not that the church has done them wrong, but my friend, they will not humble themselves. And therefore, they constantly at war with the church. This whipped man, thirdly, not only did he have a gutless conscience, but he had a godless celebration. In verse 6, Herod's birthday was kept. The daughter of Herodias danced before them, pleased him. May I say, in reality, this is really no celebration at all, but rather it was nothing but a pure act of condemnation and perversion and self-pleasure, my friend. That's exactly what happens to men who live their lives being whipped by a wicked woman. They pursue happiness only to find less and less holiness in their lives. Notice this godless celebration. This is a godless celebration because, number one, it was sensual and seductive.
Yeah.
Verse 6, I've already preached it, so I'm not going to re-preach it. But this young girl, it's sensual, it's seductive. And number two, this is a godless celebration because it's selfish.
Yeah.
Selfish. The daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. What's a birthday celebrate? Self. It's godless because it's selfish. There's a godless celebration. You know, most men, the things that they rejoice in and celebrate most of the time revolve around them.
Right.
That's a godless celebration. You want to turn out or not? The only way you'll turn out for God is to realize life is not about me. It's a godless celebration because it's sensual and seductive. It's a godless celebration because it's selfish. It's a godless celebration because it's senseless. Look at verse 7. This is the dumbest thing I've read in a long time. The Bible said in verse 7, whereupon, speaking of Herod, he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. Why would a man do that? He's whipped. Mama's done got him whooped.
Right.
So when the daughter pleases him seductively,
amen.
speaks before he thinks.
That's right.
That's what all women do. They make promises they really have no intention or even desire to keep. But they say what she wants to hear. My God, I need somebody to listen. Your wife don't need you to agree with her on anything.
Right.
This theology of when mom's not happy, nobody's happy, so we just let she have her way. That's not right.
No, amen.
God didn't call you just to agree and fluff her on anything.
Amen.
Sometimes, men, you need to look, and they won't admit this when every woman wants to be led.
That's right.
Well, I just love having such a compassionate, caring husband. I bet it is great. But there's days you wish he'd argue with you. Come on, somebody. There's days you wish he'd just look at you and tell you how it was. Somebody say amen. Because that's his job to lead.
Right.
Yes, sir.
There was something last night. I had died all day, but he's gone all week. I built something. I just didn't care for it. I mean, I'm just being honest with you.
Gotta deal with it.
You just got home, she said. I said, I don't give a rat's rear if I just got home tonight. This is unacceptable. You don't get mad at me if you want. I have a legitimate reason to be upset. Something was put in question, and something was just uneasy in my heart. And I said, you look at me. Never again will this happen while I'm going out there. You know what she said? I missed that. I thought we'd fight. She said, come here, honey. I missed that. I said, what the heck's wrong with you? She said, I thought you had just lightened up and got too easy. She said, I like that. Praise God, I'll start doing it more often. I just got uneasy.
Awkward.
She went right down and said, later in my home. I said, that ain't going to happen no more.
I'm with you.
I don't say amen or old man, it don't matter. That's my responsibility. I wasn't mean to her.
Right.
I didn't holler and scream. I didn't throw stuff and cuss and kick the dog in her ear end and bust the vase off the kitchen counter. I didn't do none of that. I wasn't angry and mad and out of sinful and wicked. I didn't poke down to her. I didn't treat her bad. I just said, this ain't going to happen no more.
You got to rule your home, praise
man.
Amen. That's right.
Hello.
Amen.
She said, well, I thought you had eased up. It's good to have you back. Do you know what she wanted? A leader.
Right.
Bless your heart. Women want to be led. So y'all's word of death, what everybody's saying, oh my gosh, was it? Listen.
You're the example preacher.
That's exactly right.
Yes, sir. Right. Preach it to us.
I didn't do a thing in the world to mistreat her.
Right.
But I had to set some things in order. And by the way, if I can't rule my own house, I ain't got no business standing here.
1 Timothy 3:5. Amen.
I need somebody that acts like I believe the Bible.
I got about 5 of you that act like you believe it, and the other 5 or 10 look like you never heard this. I'm trying to tell you something. This woman is wicked, and this man's whip, and the end result is a wounded preacher. The homes are out of order. Therefore, the church is out of order. It's senseless. He speaks before he thinks. Whatever she wants to hear, it's what I'm going to say. You better quit that.
Yeah.
I hope to God you're listening to me, man. I'm trying to help your home. Amen. You ain't going to do nothing but create fights. Oh, you'll fight hell for about 6 months.
Yeah, if it ain't in order. Amen.
But once you get that thing established,
amen,
you'll have the happiest home you've ever had when it gets in order. You'll fight hell and she'll act just like the devil. For about 6 months to a year, it's going to be awful. I need a little help, somebody. It's going to be awful. But if you want God's favor on your home, you've got to get her in order.
Amen.
And it'll be worth the hell you've got to fight and the demon she turns into to get that thing lined out for about a year, and you can live the rest of your life in the favor of God.
That's right. Amen.
I need a little help, somebody. You ain't got a bull ring in your nose. Quit being led around like you're owned.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Happy Mother's Day, by the way. I love all of you.
Amen.
I am trying to help you. This godless celebration, it's godless because it was a setup. I want you to notice something about a wicked woman, man. Listen to me. He's set up, boys.
Yeah.
Look at verse 8. And she, speaking to the daughter of Herodias, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here, John. This is an absolute out of hell setup.
Yes,
it is. It's out of hell. Herodias, I'm serious. Herodias has trained her daughter. It's a setup. Wicked women set up whipped men.
Yeah, they do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're preaching right.
They corrupt the minds of men for the benefit of their own motives.
Right.
Yes, sir.
You know, Herodias knew she had Herod in the palm of her hand.
Yeah, she did.
Therefore, she manipulated something to get out of him what she knew he would not do on his own.
Right.
Y'all follow?
Yes, right.
Herod wanted to kill John at one point. We see that. He desired it, but he wouldn't do it.
Right.
Listen to me. He wouldn't do it, and Herodias knew he. When it comes time for the rubber to meet the road, Herod's not going to hurt that preacher, but I want to kill him. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set him up.
Yeah.
And y'all ever been through something like that? It's a setup. This wicked woman has absolutely set up the whipped man. It's a godless celebration because it's sorrowful. The Bible said in verse 9, the king was sorry, nevertheless for the oath's sake. And then which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given to her. Listen, great sorrow always follows great seduction. He was greatly seduced. The end result is great sorrow. This whipped man had to live his entire life with a guilty conscience. A gutless countenance and a godless celebration. But I'm going to close with this. The wounded preacher. This wounded preacher, number one, his hands are bound in verse 3. I ain't going to preach all this. I'm just going to give it to you. Herod had laid hold on John and bound him. May I say one of the quickest ways to really wound a preacher is to bind him up when all he's trying to do is set you free and cut you loose.
Yeah.
You know what John was doing? Trying to get them from being bound in their sin. He's trying to loose them.
Yeah.
But what do they do in response to him trying to loose them? They bind him up.
Yeah.
He's wounded because of that. His heart's broke. He's all. Only reason he's there is God told him to go there. He didn't preach on Herod's sin to punish him, but rather to persuade him. He didn't approach him out of pride. He approached him out of a pure heart. But yet Herod ties up his hands. He's bound, my friend. When God sends a preacher by your way to deal with you individually, don't bind him up. Don't bind his hands and throw him into prison. Secondly, this wounded preacher's head had a bounty. The wounded preacher's hands are bound. But then secondly, the preacher's head had a bounty. Verse 6 through 8, she says, give me here John Baptist's head in a charge. In other words, at all costs, the preacher's going down.
Yeah.
This combination of a wicked woman and a whipped man lead us to one thing, and that's a wounded preacher. You want to know why the preacher spends time trying to help your home? Because when your home's out of order, the church is out of order. When the church is out of order, if it don't get corrected, it goes south. And the preacher's left here with a broken heart.
That's right.
He just wants what's best for you.
Man.
But they were determined to kill him.
Man, I got so much I could preach. I could preach this for 2 months. The wounded preacher's head had a bounty. His hands were bound.